Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
No one should have to decide if they can afford life-saving care. Expanding Medicaid would bring billions in federal funding back to our state. It helps stabilize rural hospitals providing critical care. Text BETTER to 46839.
The latest morning headlines and sports talk hosts that call it like they see it. Welcome to the People's Sports Talk Show. Contact the guys at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. Now, here's today's edition of Mississippi Sports Today.
Finish line to the work week has arrived. It is Friday, y'all, and live from the Serve Pro Studio, Mississippi Sports Today, presented by Tupelo Coca-Cola. Welcoming our trio of hosts back with us in his spot, Coach Ty Harden, the Tupelo Golden Wave. It is so good to have you back, my brother.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back in T-Town.
You've been on a clinic tour.
I've been, yes.
Coach's nonstop. Clinic, working. Yeah.
Working and speaking and watching.
Hey,
you know?
We brought you up about a week ago when we interviewed Coach Justice on
my
game
guy,
day.
Man, what a dude. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best coaches in Tupelo history. 3 years in a row in the stat, just playing for it 3 years in a row,
right.
Winning two of it, and the way he's won. I mean, the playoff. I mean, those last two games.
The comeback.
God,
I mean, the adjustments he made in game.
That state championship game, that second half adjustments, making start ball run up and down the field. And
court,
what, yeah. You know, and
football coach,
tiring them out, you know, because they weren't going to win in the paint.
No.
And him, like, because at halftime, and when Starkville hit those two threes after halftime, it's like, oh, this game's over.
Well, what
and
we told him, and he was reluctant to go on with us because he'd never heard of us, of course, but he was reluctant. And then we told him that Coach Ty was on with us virtually every morning of the game. And he did it, and we were just so happy for him. Another title for T-Town, right? Will Kohlmeyer, Ted Shetterman,
good morning,
in place today.
Yes, enjoying. Going to be a fun hour coming up.
Beautiful spring plaid for Cheddar.
Yeah,
today.
I don't know. It's gorgeous. March, so I thought I might be pushing it a little bit, but
optimistic. Yeah.
He's gonna get wing sauce on it later.
He lit up the room, I'll say that.
Sure did. Happy Easter, Will.
Yeah.
It's good to have Chad and Brian Rigby from Serpro Tupelo is with us today. Yeah.
Neutral is all good to have.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I was doing some math when you were talking about Coach Justice and the Golden Waves. Second consecutive state championship. That's two rings we're going to get, guys. Two rings.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get two rings this year.
Because I don't think, Ty, you missed a Friday, though, during football season. I think we hit every Friday.
You mean us?
Us.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
Part of the effort, I think.
Sure, the athletic
that's
department's
right. At least
loving
get a plaque
that.
Or something, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got a plaque on the wall, Craig.
Yeah, sure do. Thank you. Join the conversation this morning at 331-2508 on the Elite Realty text line. And we're going to talk with Coach about something that's going on in college football, about spring. And I wanted your take on, you know, what, first of all, your schedule for, you know, your spring practices and all that, but sort of how important it is and why you think a lot of these schools on the college level are dropping spring games.
Well, you know, you want to talk about high school level.
Let's
first?
Do that first.
We talk about high school level. You know, we're going to start off about a week after Easter, around April 22nd, go four straight weeks, and we're going to play a powerhouse out of Alabama, Hewitt Trustful. Number one defense in the state over there. They got a five-star wide receiver. Got a connection over there, a guy that coached at Horn Lake forever. He was their head coach, Brad Boyette.
Oh, yeah, Brad
Boyette. He's their defensive coordinator. And, you know, kind of made that connection there, and they needed somebody to play, and they're coming here. May 16th or 15th, whatever that Thursday is. And,
wow.
You know, anytime you get to play some elite teams, it's great. I mean, it's great for the city, great for, you know, both programs for sure. We're trying to get better. Pretty simple.
With emphasis on your guys that are coming up.
Correct.
That are going to fill in spots
exactly,
for you. You got some spots to fill.
Got some spots to fill. Feel good about the spots. We'll, you know, after this week, spring break gets over with, we'll start to get to doing a little football. It's just been nothing but training, getting better, living in the weight room, and now it's getting to be football time. So,
and what about the colleges and how I saw a story? Somebody's going 7-on-7s now.
So it's a double sided thing. So on the fan side, it's a negative, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like college football is already taking away a lot from the fans, and I think that's the big negative from the fan side is, you know, sometimes that might be the only time you can get somebody on campus.
All right.
You know, that might be the only time little Johnny can get on campus to actually attend a game and get to experience it. And you know, your normal Joe, because now you know what it also with the tailgate and them charging, and so there's some negatives on the fan side. On the coaching side, I get it, because why would I go out there? And now you're still going to practice. There's still a lot of them practice, but spring game wise, why would I go televise a spring game? And they see this kid that has been this player that has been on their roster, and they say, "Oh, I didn't see him. He's playing with third string. Oh, he didn't get any reps in the spring game. Oh, let me highlight him. Let me get my people on the back channels to get with him. If I'm at another school,
poach him.
I mean, that's what it is.
It's, poaching and coaching.
That's the issue. This year they're doing it because this is the last year of the portal being in April. Going forward, they're taking away that April portal.
Yeah, late window.
And so it's not fair. It's not fair for those colleges. I get it on that side. Why would y'all let somebody come steal somebody off my roster? So it makes total sense from the coaching side, for
sure.
And
Dabo's pretty upset about it. I heard a comment by him saying, you know, NFL gets 4 preseason games. I get nothing. I got right. LSU is our first test this
Correct.
Coming season. So
there, you know, there's a lot of proposals out there. Like, you know, I know they're excited about getting some OTAs. So though you can add some OTAs where you can see how those guys work in a physical setting, because going against each other all the time, it's kind of tough. But also, there is a point, too, where too many games is, you know, even with the playoff now, there's so many games.
Yeah.
So where's that fine line? You know, I mean, do you want scrimmages with other teams? I don't know. I'm big on not getting burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Season's a marathon. You got to be healthy at the end. You got to be peaking at the right time. That's one thing I've heard coaches talk lately at some of these clinics about, bringing up the being peaking. You know, like, you don't want to be put an emphasis so much at the beginning of the season, because you want those guys to fall in love with it more and more and more throughout mm-hmm. the season. So that's a big deal too. So
from a high school standpoint, it's a little bit different than college, as you have some of your players playing other sports.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I know for you, Coach, you've got J.D. Wise, Brody Wilson.
J.J. Hill.
And it's this guy, J.J. Hill.
Yeah.
Yep. Playing baseball.
If you haven't heard of him, playing baseball.
And we got 25 guys running track. And so, track is huge in the springtime.
You
and
love that.
I love it. The only way to get fast is run fast.
So
right?
how do you use that as a positive in spring practices, in spring training?
You know, you try to push spring as late as it can. I'm a big proponent on multi-sports. I want kids playing basketball, baseball, track, whatever else. We had kids, you know, we'll have some soccer kids. It's just let kids be kids. Let them go play everything while they can. There's always been a narrative at Tupelo in the past where you can't do that. When I'm that's a myth. And it's just it's better for the kid. It makes them more marketable. It makes them more well-rounded. It's good to see adversity in a different sport. It's great for a kid like a J.J. Hill he might not be the best player on the diamond. That's good for you. You know,
and thought of that.
I mean, it's good mm-hmm. to have adversity different ways, you know, and it's good for like a baseball player. You know, he might be the best first round draft pick, but him going to play football and facing adversity in a different way. You can ask all these college coaches and all these major leagues when they're dang recruiting a guy and looking at him. You got a guy that only plays baseball and a guy that plays two sports, and they're the same kid. He's going to take the guy that plays two sports every mm-hmm. time.
I feel like Coach needs to say that louder
yes.
for the people in the back.
No doubt.
Or actually record that, Craig. And
yeah, we have a podcast.
Play it as a spot, because that's such wisdom and so true, I believe. I know everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I'm a firm believer in kids being kids and playing yes. every sport. And I tell people all the time, whatever level you can play at, just play the game. Whatever game it is, play it as long as you can.
Yeah, because it goes by fast.
Kids need a break from their sport sometimes.
Yeah.
Coaches need a break from kids sometimes.
And it's a real thing. We see it all the time. Some of these, and for lack of a better term, helicopter parents that try to focus on one thing.
What was the word I said earlier? The B word I said about a long season. Burnout.
Yep.
You see it happen a lot.
Yeah. All right. We got Mr. West saying hello today with a little trivia question on the Elite Realty text line. Thank you, brother, and happy Friday to you. Jalen Milroe is one of three quarterbacks to pass for 15 or more touchdowns and rush for 15 or more touchdowns in 2024, just last season. Who are the other two quarterbacks to have done this? Only three ever?
That have run for 15 touchdowns and thrown for 15.
Yeah, I'm going to go
Dante Culpepper.
Michael Vick.
What about Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
Tebow had a bunch of rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. Who are you saying, Ty? Who are you saying? Well,
That was Michael Vick. I was thinking NFL-wise first. Yeah, that was
Robert Griffin?
Tebow, Robert Griffin.
Yeah.
There's only three?
That seems like a lot. I mean, I would think
they're all power four, he said. So
they're all power four. Okay,
that narrows it down to 130 teams.
There's going to be a curveball somewhere.
You're not thinking, okay, they're not all three obvious.
Sounds as if we've heard of them, though, I would expect.
Louisville, were they in the
Lamar? Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Were they considered power four from that?
Yeah. Because that was ACC.
That was ACC.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is good answers. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now let's move to our fun facts for Friday. We started this last week, Coach.
Yep. It is.
We were looking for a way to entertain us while you were gone. Oh. And so we came up with Fun Fact Friday. We have five fun facts for this Friday. We're going to go around the table like we do this date. And Will, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'll kick it off.
All right, here's a fun fact.
Did you know that 13 SEC teams have more ranked wins than the Duke Blue Devils this year? 13.
That's a good one.
Of the SEC schools. That speaks volumes.
That's why they're saying there might be 13 teams make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty impressive.
Next one, golf was banned in England in 1457 because it was considered a distraction from the serious pursuit of archery.
Don't want to mess with my archery skills.
Well, yeah. It's probably for military purposes. But
oh, I see.
I didn't realize golf was around in 1457, but yeah, 400 years this game's been around. Brian, you want to take one?
Yeah, 1990, or starting in 1990, Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls never had a three-game losing streak in 8 years.
It's amazing. The grind that season is, and injuries, and anything else, road trips, and everything. And they never lost three in a row during that eight-year span. Here's another.
Until 1991, soccer was illegal here in the state of Mississippi. Illegal.
If you think back, we didn't see a lot of soccer before, right? The early 90s. It's one of those laws on the books that sort of nobody ever paid attention to, I think.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, right. Still.
Yes.
All right. Ooh, the Washington Nationals were charged $14.99 for a beer this season.
$15.
I've been to Nationals Park, and I think it was 13 then.
Wow.
$13. And it's a nice tall one, right? But if they don't have Budweiser products, and a lot of these stadiums don't, and they'll have, other products. And it's like, I ain't paying it. How about this? $14.99 in Washington. What's the other one? What's the low end?
The Colorado Rockies at $3.
$3. There's some hammered fans in Denver.
$3.
Okay, those are five.
You can get a bottle of water for that.
Five fun facts on Friday. You get a fun fact in if you'd like it. 331-2508. The Brewers are $8.49. What a random price. in the city that brews the most beer of any probably in the world.
That's why they're called the Brewers.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah,
come down off the beer prices.
I don't understand that.
Love of Pete.
There's a lot of things happening up in Wisconsin these days that I don't understand.
That was a good game last night, and Ole Miss took down Mississippi State with a very strong. Ole Miss won every quarter of this game. You know, a lot of coaches say we're playing a little 10-minute games here, and Ole Miss won every quarter. In their 85-73 win over Mississippi State, Kennedy Todd Williams, Madison Scott, both with 20. State was led by Okot with 14. But really, in that second half, Will, they sort of just kept on with the pressure, kept on. Had a great offensive night.
Yeah, it really was. And I'll tell you what, one thing, if Madison Scott would play Mississippi State every game, she would be a first-team All-American. Yeah. She just has monster games against the rivals, no doubt. But, yeah, you're right. Ole Miss led the entire third quarter, scored the opening 4 points of the fourth quarter. They led at that time 69-56, and Mississippi State never got closer to, a 9-point deficit after that. I thought one of the keys was right off the bat, Sam Purcell set up a play on the opening trip down the court for Medina Okot. Got her a layup right away, and then they just, like, left her there. And, I mean, she is a mismatch problem, but she ended up finishing with a double-double. I think she had 14 and maybe 11 rebounds or whatever. But I don't think that they used her to her advantage because most of those 14 points was just loose change, garbage offensive rebounds. So.
Yeah, Ole Miss scored 20 points off 21 Mississippi State turnovers. And it's been quite an impressive run for Coach Yo and the Rebels in the quarterfinals for the fifth straight season. And 20-plus in four straight seasons they've won.
Well, they're hoping right now to possibly, especially if they get a win tonight against Texas, to be hosting that the first rounds of the NCAA.
And they've never
NCAA,
done that.
Never done before.
And, you know, if you watched last night, this team's playing very well. Mm-hmm. They were in rhythm last night. They were hitting the open shooter.
They were peaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think they'll give Texas all they want.
Well, they almost beat them during the regular season.
Sure
Texas
did.
Needed a late bucket by Booker, their All-American from Germantown High School here in Mississippi, to beat them by three.
Yeah, that game back on January 26th, one of those heartbreakers in Oxford. Brian, we were talking about those. 61-58, Texas got them. They were seventh in the country then. They're second now. And they'll play at 5 in Greenville today. Very much looking forward to that one. Other games today. Oklahoma winning over Georgia yesterday. Reagan Beers. Speaking of Beers, what a name. Cheers to Beers, 22 last night. Now Oklahoma will face Kentucky today at 1:30. Vandy got a win, Will.
Yeah, that was big, too, for Ole Miss. Vanderbilt beat Tennessee 84-76. Blake's, she's having a wonderful year. She led the way with 24 because Tennessee and Ole Miss were kind of like battling for a possible that last hosting spot. So when it comes to that first weekend of the NCAA tournament, so that was actually, the Vandy did Ole Miss a favor there.
And we'll be able to watch them today at B-Dubs.
That's right, 11 bells. It'll be tipping off against South Carolina. Vandy had a really good game yesterday. They better bring the A-plus game today if they want to hang with South Carolina.
You guys feel like it's South Carolina and Texas and sort of nobody else is in their sort of level, right?
Yeah.
Barring an upset, those two should meet. Gators of Florida. Liv McGill, 29 last night. And they knock off Alabama 63-61. That's the best game of the night, guys. Florida will take on LSU at 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, see, that was the key with that coin flip, that Texas losing the coin flip, because South Carolina is over on that side of the bracket by themselves. Texas, and I know LSU is not vintage LSU, but Texas, if they can get past Ole Miss, most likely would be playing LSU. So that's a much more difficult semifinal matchup for the two seed, Texas against LSU.
All right, and tomorrow we'll wrap the regular season for SEC men. And, Brian, you were over there on Wednesday. You made a couple of observations when you and Briggs went to the game on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was a great basketball game. And, you know, as we've seen Ole Miss do so many times this year, fall behind early in the game and sometimes claw their way back into the game. But I think the biggest lead for Tennessee may have been 7. So Ole Miss stayed in it, and the defense was just so good and only turned the ball over 5 times. and, you know, and then Brakefield in the second half with his 19 points. He was just so clutch. And, you know, we were talking prior to, you know, coming on the air this morning about the officiating. Man, in the SEC, man, they are letting them play rough.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm Coach Beard or, you know, Coach Jans or anybody that's coaching in the SEC, I'm looking at Ziegler in Tennessee. He sells it. Every time he is touched, he sells it and he gets the calls. He is not getting roughed up any worse than anybody else on the court, but he really sells it.
Yeah. So you're thinking he's taking some theater classes or maybe at least a theater minor, maybe.
Absolutely. Well,
could have been in show choir, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
He was, yeah. I didn't look at his bio, but I'm thinking he's a major in theater.
Yeah. Drama. Yeah, all about the drama. The schedule begins tomorrow with an 11 o'clock tip for two games, actually three games, Kentucky at Missouri, ought to be a good one, Mississippi State at Arkansas, much needed for the Dogs, yep. And Hogs both, right?
Right.
And then Vandy at Georgia, another kind of a bubble game tomorrow. Not bubble gum, bubble game.
Bubble game, and I agree with Ty wholeheartedly. I mean, Mississippi State, that was one that I know Coach Jans and the rest of the team were disappointed. I know the fans were as well the other night against Texas. Texas had some great athletes, and Texas, obviously, they're you know, they got the lottery pick with Johnson, but that's another guy that's acting, that complains about every single call. But he's primed for the NBA, that's for sure. But Mississippi State definitely has to try to get that one at Arkansas.
For sure.
Not going to be easy, though.
South Carolina at Tennessee at 1:30, the big one tomorrow. Alabama at Auburn. All eyes on that one, my friend.
I mean, that's Final Four matchup right there.
Yep.
I mean, that's
possible.
I mean, I'm just saying these. I mean, look at the games that these. I mean, like in this last week of the regular season in the SEC. I mean, these are legitimate
the Elite Eight games.
Yes, Elite Eight. Yes.
Then at 3:00, Texas A&M at LSU. A&M with that big win this past week, and then 5:00, Rebels head for the Swamp. Take it on Florida Gators. That's going to be, that, you know.
That'd be hard.
It's going to be tough. Especially after that big win. It's going to be tough.
And they're almost a different team on the road, guys.
They are. And I heard Coach Beard's post-game press conference the other night. And he was talking about Matthew Morrell and Brakefield. I guess it would be on Tuesday. Those two got into it at practice. And were really going at each other really, really hard. And Coach Beard said that intensity and their willingness and their closeness, these guys are close, they're like brothers. He said that's the kind of things you want to have in March, that it means that much to these guys. They're that passionate and that energetic and that emotional about where they are and how important this is to them. And he thinks that that's something that he's seeing out of his team this year that he hasn't seen so far this year. So it's a good time to have that competitive nature come out.
Yeah, no doubt. And Ty, that as soon as Brian started talking about that, I could see your antenna.
It did. It was definitely dinging right there. That's exactly what you want. You mean, we call it gas, give a, you know what. And that's, you see it right there. And when you see it and you get – as a coach, knowing that your guys are going to do any and everything when it matters right now, because everybody's back against the wall. It's March.
Yeah.
So it's
like it.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the text line. Squirrel says hello today. Appreciate you, brother. All right, Coach, hate to be that guy, but I'm hearing a lot of buzz of a repeat next year. Early, but QB prospects and who will be tough next year on schedule. Thanks, guys. Squirrel.
Well, we feel good about our quarterback position. A guy that transferred in last year played defensive back for us. He'll be a SEC DB, but Braylon Williams, his previous school, you know, has proven that he can play quarterback. So we feel good offensively what we've got there, you know. But, I mean, if anybody's seen our schedule, our non-division schedule is about one of the hardest in the nation. I love it. You know, you're playing – 5 out of the 6 teams in your non-division were played or won a state championship. Playing two out of state teams, the best team, and private school ball, and you're playing your West Points, you're playing Brandon, you're playing Oxford. I mean, it's
you might as well just play Michigan or somebody, coach.
Any place, any time. That's got to be your philosophy.
Yeah, Louis says hello. Says if golf's been around 400 years, then obviously cussing has been around that long. Thank you, Louis.
So true.
Yeah, mailman's got a good one for us. Went to trivia last night. One of the questions was, what is the national sport of Canada?
Really?
Really?
I mean, that's a gimme putt, right?
It's duh trivia night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet there were a couple that said maybe curling.
That's what I was going to say. Was it a trick question?
Yes.
It may have been.
Was it goose?
Overthought it.
Goose right? Hunting.
Yeah, exactly.
Something
yeah.
like that. When we, Swamp says, when we smoke Ole Miss by 15 tomorrow, we're going to get a number one seeding. Okay, yeah. Swamp.
I don't even think they need the 15-point
no. one. All right. When we return, Brian's going to talk a little about Tupelo's schedule and what he's seen from Golden Wave in baseball. Mm-hmm. And we'll go over the Ole Miss and Mississippi State series this weekend. And also a deep dive into D1 Top 25 and some stats that might amaze you. Little baseball on the other side of this Friday edition. Mississippi Sports Today returns after this timeout.
Hi, this is Brian Rigby, owner of ServPro of Tupelo. ServPro is the nation's leader in cleaning and restoration. But here at home, we're more than that. We're neighbors helping neighbors, friends taking care of friends. Whether it's storm, flood, or fire damage, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Our staff has over 150 years combined experience in residential and commercial projects. Visit ServPro.com or call 690-6502. ServPro of Tupelo, here in your community, here to help.
It's Bobby Bascom from Automedic. Bobby, when you say we speak the language, what does that mean?
Just that, Craig. We speak foreign imports language, specializing in BMW, Mercedes, Audi, Lexus.
You mean you speak BMW?
Wir sprechen Deutsch.
Gesundheit!
Translation? We speak German imports, and we're local, so there's no need to drive hours to your dealer. Automedic 3552, Jeff Homan Boulevard in Tupelo. Reach us at 844-9379. We speak the language at Automedic.
It's Mark Ewan with Farm Bureau Insurance Lee County. Mark, baseball is here.
One of my favorite times of the year. And our team at Farm Bureau want to wish our Lee County Diamond and Lady Diamond teams the very best this season. We're in the baseball capital of the nation. Go Rebels, go Bulldogs, and go Golden Eagles. We know that great teams have consistency, attention to details, and a passion for the game. We have five tools at every position.
The home team.
Give us a call at 662-842-7034, and let's have the best season ever from our team at Farm Bureau Insurance Lee County. Go with the home team.
What are you people?
Who are you?
Featuring a different lineup of hosts every day and your comments on the Elite Realty text line. This is the People's Sports Talk Show. Now, back to more of Mississippi Sports Today on Super Talk 101.9.
Happy to have you aboard on this Friday, 7th day March, and we spring forward. You guys like the spring forward thing? I do.
I don't.
You don't like it?
I'm in the minority. I like daylight to be early.
Yeah.
He's an early guy. He's an early morner.
It's like
so
the
are
long
you, Craigster.
I like the long days. Yeah. I feel like I get to eat lunch sooner when we bump the clock forward.
Well, here's the thing. You have the same amount of daylight. Regardless.
True. Right.
It just depends on whether you enjoy it in the morning or the afternoon.
That's right.
True. Yeah. I suggest
some people actually think it changes.
That's true. And I suggest that we spring forward at 4 this afternoon. I think people would be a lot happier than that, right?
Well, one less hour of work, yeah.
Instead of losing an hour. But I don't use all 48 hours of a weekend anyway. I don't know about y'all. But, hey, right, I can spare an hour. But that happens this weekend, I'll forget. You know, Mailman, but I thought he was joking. I thought this was tongue-in-cheek. When he said he went to trivia, and one of the questions was, what is the national sport of Canada? And we all laughed. Mailman says it's not hockey.
You think it's...
I think Cheddar was right. I think it's either curling or something random, ice fishing. I mean, there's a lot of...
What about that log roll thing they do? You know, like the lumberjack sports. We used to see a lot of that on TV. You don't see as much.
You see in the Ocho?
Cats on a log. Like the running full speed. I was always impressed with that.
It was impressive. And that's held in northern Wisconsin every year that you watched it on TV. It's called Hayward, a small town that did the log.
I don't cornhole? I'm just throwing things out.
Does he have the answer? Is he going to?
Come on, mailman.
Come on. Let's we're hanging here.
Yeah, don't leave us hanging. Hey, Will and Ty. Tell them I said, hey, Bo. Bo won some tickets for us. Thank you. Thank you for listening and for checking in, Bo. Appreciate it, Bo. All right. Apparently, it doesn't want to speak to me and Brian. That's okay. How about skiing, someone said.
They've never really dominated, though, in the Olympics. So I would not think that. You're talking about, like, downhill skiing?
I guess. Yes. Alan says hello. He's driving the bus. Literally,
yes.
For the Ole Miss baseball team. He says they head down to Mobile Monday and Tuesday for afternoon games, travel time.
I wonder if he'll be at softball this afternoon. He likes watching. Well, yeah. I know he drives the volleyball team as well over there.
Squirrel has put forth this suggestion on that Canada football. They do have CFL.
They do.
I don't believe it.
No.
I don't believe it. I don't know. But thank you, mailman. That's a fun fact.
It really is.
I have another fun fact. Y'all may have covered this yesterday.
Hmm.
Former Ole Miss All-American Wesley Walls was named a member of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee.
Indeed.
How about that?
What an honor.
That is awesome.
Rebels are in. There you go. We're in, baby.
Already.
Did you hear that swamp? We're in, baby.
Mr. West says hockey and lacrosse. Hmm. Canada sport is chasing America. USA, another vote for, mailman says it is, lacrosse.
Really?
I would have never guessed
that in a million years.
Outdoor sport?
Not even close. I could have.
No.
I mean,
it's gaining popularity.
I have some nephews in Maryland. That's all they do.
East Coast up there.
That's their thing.
Well, it's huge, yeah.
And I have no concept of what it even is. I know that they were showing me the equipment. I know I don't want to get hit with that thing.
Speaking of physical play that Brian was talking about with SEC basketball.
We get out in the yard, they ask me, try it.
Yeah, you whistle those things.
Yeah. I wasn't very good at it. A tie with dog sledding, someone said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another good guess. All right, let's get to baseball. Brian, give us an update on Tupelo Golden Wave schedule and all the broadcast times and everything you guys are doing.
Yeah, Tupelo will travel to Germantown this afternoon to start their second division game of the year. As a host, or what they will take on the Germantown Mavericks at 6 p.m. JV will play at 4 today. We will have the broadcast for the varsity game on the Golden Wave Sports Network. Dylan and I will be on the call on that, so you can join us on Golden Wave Athletics. And then the Roku, Fire Stick, all that good stuff as well. And then Tupelo will travel to Saltillo tomorrow, JV at 5 and varsity at 7 to take on.
Back to backs.
Yeah.
All right.
Be a late night traveling back.
Good stuff. Right.
Sure will be.
Sure is. Mississippi State's in their final regular season series of this year. Boy, I can't believe it's already ready for conference play. They will host Queens College, who are 2-10 on the season.
Yeah,
they expect some short run rule games, hopefully.
They'd better take care of business this week with the Royals. They've got Texas next week. That's their first series for Mississippi State.
Yeah. Queens College from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to say, are they actually from Queens?
Yeah.
4 o'clock is first pitch, 3:30 is the airtime over on 95.9.
I think they're in the A-Sun. So, Queens, I thought the same thing. I didn't believe it as well, but it's a lot bigger school than we think.
Yeah, going to be a busy weekend in Oxford. Rebels hosting Jacksonville State in their final non-conference series. And when you look at the D1 top 25 in baseball, Brian, I know you keep an eye on this. Looks a lot like basketball.
Yeah.
Am I right? Run some of those nuggets down. Somebody.
Well, five of the top seven teams are from the SEC.
Let you point it, Will. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Anybody.
No, I mean, at the top, I mean, look at you got LSU at number 1, Tennessee 2, Arkansas 3. That's just three in the – I mean, that's the top three.
Yeah, and A&M is just falling. so yeah. fast. They lost to, I think, UTSA in the midweek game this week. So I think they're 1-4 in their last five games.
Goodness.
And that were number one in the country.
10 in the top 20 and 12 in the top 25. And Rebels come in at number 17. Southern Miss, number 20. I believe Troy is 21.
Yes, Troy's having a really good year, yeah.
Yeah, D1 top 25. Some nuggets from stats so far early in the year, yeah. Garrett Frye is second in the SEC in batting average from Mississippi State. Hitting .478, he has 11 hits in 23 at bats. Is that good, Brian?
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. What about your boy Hunter Elliott?
Yeah, he has got a 0 ERA in three games started to 16 innings pitched. Opposing batting averages, a measly 122. 20 Ks, 8 freebies with base on balls, only giving up 6 hits. And his last outing was probably his worst. He struggled a little bit with control. And so you look for him to bounce back and this weekend and continue to put up, you know, really good numbers that he's done all year. And this Ole Miss lineup, they've got to find somebody in the bottom of this order. And they need to do that because they got Arkansas waiting for them next weekend. But that's been their Achilles heel. I will say that this past Wednesday – and they were able to knock off the Murray State Racers. Mm-hmm. That was a big win. You're down to one strike in the bottom of the ninth. Come back and tie it up and then walk it off in the tenth. That's a big win, and that's something at Ole Miss you haven't seen in the last couple of years be able to do to overcome that. So that's a good sign. As far as Mississippi State, you saw what they did to Southern this in, I guess it was Wednesday as well.
I think they just scored again.
I mean, this is a team, if you look at their numbers, they're good.
Their batting average is really one of the best in the SEC. It's .320, what I heard.
All they need to do is what they did Wednesday is have the timely hits. That's something that Mississippi State has failed to do, is to have those hits come in bunches. When they do that, Mississippi State is one of the best teams in the country.
And, I mean, you're saying that, and we still haven't even seen Hunter Hines show up. And he's off to a really slow start, so if that guy starts clicking, he starts cooking with some serious oil.
Yeah, and their pitching staff, if you look at the opposing batting average against Mississippi State's pitching staff, it's unreal how low it is. So the pitching staff, they're already doing their thing. And then offensively, that like I said, the stats are there, the numbers are there, averages are there. But they just have failed to have those timely hits and some of the losses that they've had. And you saw against a really, really good Southern Miss team what they can do when they – have those timely hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who leads the SEC in home runs? Anybody? Class?
I think LeBron does.
LeBron!
Yes.
Saw that anyway.
No James.
No.
Justin. Justin LeBron.
How many home runs?
Nine.
Indeed. That's a lot. Udermark has 7. He's tied for second with a couple of other guys. Ace Reese. What a baseball name.
It is a cool name, and he is clicking. He is really on a heater right now.
You got 6 from Mississippi State. That's good for third. ICC baseball traveled to Mississippi Delta for 2 games today at noon and 2:30. They have their big Strikeout Cancer Day and Little Indians Day on the 15th, as they'll take on Jones that day in doubleheader action. Region 23 basketball tournament, we know who the Indians will face on Monday.
Yeah, well, the women from ICC, they're a 2-seed. They'll face Gulf Coast at 5 o'clock Monday at the Davis Event Center. And then the ICC men, having a really good year, 24-5, and they will face Mississippi Delta on Monday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, those two teams won in the opening round last night. There's free admission to those games, by the way.
That's very rare. I mean,
sure.
We're talking about the regional.
I think that's what Adam sent me.
Yeah.
I hope that's correct.
Yeah.
I want to throw in one more nugget about Ole Miss former pitcher Lim Doyle transferred to Tennessee, the kind of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
He has pitched 14 2/3 innings this year, only giving up 6 hits, 1 earned run. That's 34 strikeouts.
Wow.
And he has had an uptick in his fastball and one of the best pitchers in the country so far. If you look at his numbers and what the scouts are saying about this kid, man, it'd be great to see him still wearing the red and blue.
Oh, my goodness,
instead
yes.
of the ugly orange.
What a transfer portal.
Mm.
come back to haunt you, can it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gracious. Will, you got a big weekend over in Oxford?
Yes. Yeah, I got a top 25 tussle. I got Arkansas coming to town, a perennial power, and got Ole Miss. They're in number 25 this week in a couple of the polls. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday. You can watch it on your ESPN app. But, yeah, it's a fun little part of my I think I've got 17 and 19 days broadcast, and so this is 3 more this weekend. It'll be a fun weekend at the ballpark, no doubt.
Looking for it. And how can folks tune in? I loved watching last weekend.
Oh, well, thank you.
And you did a great job.
Appreciate you watching. Thank you.
So how can SEC Network Plus,
yes,
as you said.
Okay. Right. So you can, if you got ESPN app, all you got to do is get on that ESPN app, and then you can watch them all. And kind of the same thing that Brian was talking about, you know, you watch them with Golden Wave Athletics. Yeah, you can watch it on your favorite device, but then if you've got the proper equipment, then boom, you've got it on the screen. So, yeah, it's really good softball. I mean, it's elite. And if you enjoyed last weekend, Craig, you'll really enjoy this weekend series. And Ole Miss, even though Arkansas has done a lot more, it seems, in postseason than Ole Miss lately, Ole Miss has had their number. They've won 5 of the last 8 series against Arkansas.
How about that?
So
in Starkville, a top 21 tussle.
Yes. How about that?
21 first-ranked Mississippi State. Also 18-3 on the year. Will host 20th-ranked Auburn. Saturday through Monday series, as I understand it.
Yeah, they're having a Monday night. Well, we always used to, growing up, we had Monday night baseball. Well, they've done the last couple of years Monday night softball. So there's that series. Mississippi State will play the Saturday, Sunday, and then they'll be on the linear on TV on Monday night. And then I've got their game against MTSU down there at State next Wednesday. So I got a lot of fun softball.
You are Mr. Softball.
And I got 5 broadcasts next weekend at Ole Miss. So that's, what is that? That's 9 broadcasts, the next softball broadcast.
Hardest working man in college softball.
It's fun. Chad, I enjoy Chatterman. Calling it.
Wyndham Clark leads the Arnold Palmer this morning. He's 1 under through 3. He shot 67. There are only 5 players who broke 70. Yesterday. I doubt we could have.
Nope.
It's Clark leads Shane Lowry by a stroke, who's 2 under today through 5. Leaderboard also features JT. He's up a spot today at 1 under. He's 2 under for the tournament, and he is tied for 6th with Justin Rose, and Rory's in the mix as well. Rory actually is bogeyed on his round today through 5. And it's -1, so he's a little back. Defending champ Scotty Scheff is 1 under and will tee off today at noon. It's going to be fun. There's a lot of big names atop the leaderboard to watch.
Yeah, that will make it fun. I like that. I mean, nothing against, and there's a lot of young and upcoming golf. I get that as well. But it's when you get some of those marquee names, I don't know, it just adds more interest. It perks my attention.
And, you know, it's fun. We're going to head over to, if you want to hang out at Backswings and actually play on like TPC Sawgrass and watch the players next week.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Backswings got it over there, and there are 4 bays of TrackMan. I mean, these are nice, guys. Will, you've been over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's outstanding. And they got great food, too, and, of course, your favorite beverage, but it's also family-friendly. So it's a great new place, 1014 Commonwealth. And as we said, you can play all those courses and really learn a lot about your golf game.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Simulators have a way of
humbling you.
Humbling you, indeed.
It's kind of like Ty's non-conference schedule. I mean, you find out who you are, and we find out how we are on the
there's
course.
Actual evidence right in front of you. When you're out on the course, and, you know, in the real world, there's no evidence. Yeah. You just kind of forget it happened, but not at Backswings. We'll see Alan over there this weekend. 33 days until the Masters. This weekend, Brian, NASCAR goes out west.
Yeah, they go to Phoenix after making a little stretch around in the southeast, and obviously Daytona and Atlanta and Austin. So they head out west to the West Coast Swing.
Yep.
So it should be fun out in Phoenix.
Yep. Christopher Bell leads the point the Cup Series standings, 95 points.
Actually, that is incorrect.
Is that it?
It is a misprint. William Byron leads with 116. Christopher Bell has 95 points, but he has two wins. He's fourth.
Ah, I see. So the points and the wins. So yeah. That's where I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, he's actually got two wins, but he's fourth in points, which is hard to believe. But he had a did not finish in Daytona.
I'm glad you cleared that up. Yeah. Down with drones. You guys heard about this? All the major sports leagues, professional, NFL, Major League Baseball, NCAA, and NASCAR said they support a bill introduced yesterday in Congress that would give state and local law enforcement the ability to disable drones that fly over sporting events.
Disabling them? What, they got a shotgun or something?
Well, it's,
that'd be one way.
It's an act of Congress already. We have some severe laws with MSHAA because there's a lot of teams that film with drones, and it's the best shot that you can get. And it's really an act of Congress just to even get those up, even if you have a license, and it's tough to get a license. But I get it on that level.
This is rampant. I'd never even thought that this was a thing. The NFL said in the 2023 season, they had more than 2,800 drone incursions.
Wow.
That's got to be dangerous.
That's a lot.
And I guess it's some dude, probably lives with mama.
Yeah.
Gets out, sets it up.
I go back to, I don't know if this past season or season before, Marshall did a drone fly over during a game, and they got fined by the NCAA by like $100,000.
Well,
crazy.
The AFC.
I didn't even
read this when it happened back in January. The AFC championship game postponed. Or paused, rather, after a drone entered the stadium's restricted airspace. And that's around D.C., too, so you want to be careful.
Yeah, no doubt.
Here's another crazy story. It's not exactly a fun fact, but it may be news you missed. $10 million reward for information leading to the arrest of a former Olympic snowboarder for Canada who's wanted for running a multinational drug trafficking network, orchestrating multiple murders related to the drug ring. His name is Ryan Wedding. He goes by several aliases. He's on the loose and is on the 10 most wanted list Thursday.
I saw that on the news last night.
Wow.
He went from snow to snow.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't look like an Olympic snowboarder.
No, he does
his
not.
His mugshot doesn't.
At 43 now, I haven't seen the mugshot.
How bad do you have to be for a $10 million reward?
Yeah.
I wish I knew where he was at.
Dangerous. Yeah. Me too.
What are you doing after the show, Coach?
Yeah, let's go find him. Yeah. Let's go find it, boy.
Bring some of your defensive linemen with you.
All right. It is time with our panel today to head back into the time machine.
1857. Baseball decides 9 innings constitutes an official game. Not 9 runs anymore. So I guess first the 9 runs, that was ball game, but now we're going to play 9 innings.
That'd take a minute for some games.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
1930, Georgetown High of Chicago defeats Homer High by the score of 1-0 in basketball.
Defensive.
What a battle.
What a bunch of clanking or something.
It shouldn't have fouled him.
That's right.
Right.
1981, the second.
22nd.
22nd SEC men's basketball tournament. Ole Miss beats Georgia 66-62. The Rebels were 8-10 that SEC season. Elston Turner, Carlos Clark, and Sean Toohey were a couple on that
team.
So Stroud wasn't on that.
Stroud had already left. Yeah, he left in 80.
Okay.
But you remember, though, Dominique was the MVP of that tournament.
Dominique Wilkins, yes.
And then he went on to the NBA after that.
Yeah, he sure did. 1987, Mike Tyson beats James Bone Crusher Smith by a unanimous decision in 12 rounds in Las Vegas.
What a name.
We did boxing nicknames, Wednesday or Thursday? Wednesday.
Wednesday, I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, we had a blast with that. Yeah. Bone Crusher was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this one, it's amazing.
Last but not least, 1988, Jim Abbott, one-handed pitcher, wins 58th James E. Sullivan Award as the top amateur athlete in the U.S., becoming the first baseball player to win that award.
I'm still just amazed at how Jim Abbott was able to play on that level.
I read his book and was kind of intrigued by him and his story when I was younger, and the cool story, and to be able to do what he did is phenomenal.
I mean, holding that mitt, and then it was inspiring.
And Right. Just that move that he would, you know, he'd get a comebacker, bam, right at him.
Yeah.
Got it.
No problem.
What an athlete. Bone Crusher was mine. Mr. West said, okay. You get credit for the Bone Crusher.
Yep.
He also gave us the answer. The player who had rushed for 15 and passed for 15, and we were not even close. Riley Leonard of Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
Was this last season?
Maybe last season.
Maybe just last season.
Who's the other one?
When he was at Duke, he might have done it.
Yeah.
This was last season, I believe. John Mateer, Washington State, also did it. 15 rush, 15 passing touchdowns. It's got to be just that single season.
I think so.
Maybe we were a little confused. Great show. Have a good weekend, my friend. Swamp Sis, thank you very much. Ty needs to put Etawamba on the football schedule.
Coach.
That'd be fun.
Hey, I brought a fun fact in. It's like show and tell sometimes, right, on Friday. Especially for Brian, being the former standout pitcher that he was, Greg Maddux faced over 20,000 batters during his career. 20,421, and he only had 310 that saw a 3-0 count, and 177 of those 310 were intentional walks. That dude never fell behind, did he?
No, and if he fell behind, it was on purpose. I mean, that guy could throw it. He could anywhere he wanted.
Yep, he was something special.
Story that one of his catchers I saw on a reel or something told about Maddux facing the Astros, and I think it was Biggio, and it was a meaningless game late in the season, and he told the catcher, I'm going to throw this location, and Biggio cranked it, right? Mm-hmm. And the catcher's like, he asked him afterwards, like, why did you knew.
Setting them up later on.
He said, we're going to play them in the playoffs.
Oh, how about that? Ty was all over it.
Right? Little bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and I'm going to get him in the play. And he sure did.
How about that?
He was always thinking ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
He was playing chess when everybody else was playing checkers.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him that, and the next time I face him, he's going to expect it and get him all puffed up.
Wow.
All right, today we're very excited. First thought in my head this morning was the three new sandwich items that we'll get to sample today at Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm so proud of you, Craig. I mean, where your thought process was immediately, groceries.
Today we will be
having one.
A little over an hour.
Yep.
Buffalo Wild Wings, starting at 11, three new sandwich opportunities for you. Philly steak and cheese. It's got beer cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we could lose. Then the chicken Philly,
mm-hmm.
brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chicken parm. All available now for a limited time at Buffalo Wild Wings. Mitchell Distributing sponsors our event, so we have prizes, specials, baseball tickets for Ole Miss this weekend, and Mississippi State. So bring your appetite. I know we will.
We will definitely.
You know which one you got? I've got to go with.
I know. I'm going with Philly cheese.
Me too. Yeah. Mr. West said that's one season, last year, 2024. Okay. Fact about Abbott was he says the fact that Abbott was not called a one-armed bandit still makes me cry. Dude was amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank y'all for listening today. Coach, thank you. Brian, Will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Have a good weekend.
See y'all at B-Dubs.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding two March auctions, a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th in Greenwood, plus a retirement auction at Ewing Farm in Anguilla on Thursday, March the 13th. Visit mdauction.com for details on both. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.